Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Blood Diamonds and Betrayal, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Job. You ever feel a gun press against the back of your skull and know, with absolute certainty, that you're about to die? Most people don't. Most people go through life thinking death is some distant, creeping thing, something they'll face when they're old and gray, lying in a hospital bed, surrounded by loved ones who cry and hold their hands. That's not how people like me die. People like me? We die in back alleys, in cheap motel rooms, on cold, bloodstained concrete. And we sure as hell don't get a happy ending. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start at the beginning. The job was supposed to be simple. One last score. One big payout. Then I'd be gone, off this godforsaken continent, off this whole damn game. I had enough blood on my hands to drown in. I was tired of the chase, tired of the killing, tired of trusting people I knew would gut me the second it suited them. But diamonds? Diamonds change everything. Cape Town's Diamond District is a fortress, a place where billions in stolen, smuggled, and conflict mined stones pass through every year, washing the blood off them until they shine bright enough to blind the world. Every suit walking through those marble-floored offices has blood on their hands. Every handshake is a deal made over the bodies of people who died for greed. And me, I was about to steal a fortune from them. Five of us walked into that heist, but only one of us was ever getting out alive. Rafe, the leader, the bastard who always had a plan, always had an angle. He was the type to smile while he put a bullet in your head. Jordy, the safecracker, small, twitchy, always looking over his shoulder. He was good with his hands, but his nerves? Shot to hell. Carlos, the muscle, big, quiet, dangerous. The kind of man who didn't need a gun to kill you. Luca, the driver, reckless, cocky, but fast as hell when it counted. And then there was me. I wasn't supposed to be part of the crew. I was Rafe's insurance policy. His mistress. His enforcer. The one who made sure nobody got any ideas about running with the diamonds. And now, standing outside the DeVries Diamond Exchange, gripping the handle of my pistol, I knew one thing for certain. Someone in that crew was about to betray us. I just had to figure out who. The plan was simple. Luca parked the van two blocks away, engine running. Jordy and Carlos handled the security feeds. Rafe and I, we walked through the front door like we belonged there. Inside, the exchange was all glass and steel, sleek and polished, reeking of money and power. A receptionist barely looked up as we walked past. Rafe had bribed the right people, ensured the right distractions. We were ghosts before they even knew we existed. We took the elevator to the seventh floor. The vault was at the end of the hall. Jordy worked fast, hands flying over the lock, sweat dripping down his face. 3 more minutes, he muttered. I didn't like that. 3 minutes was a lifetime in a job like this. Rafe leaned against the wall, calm as ever. Breathe, sweetheart, he murmured. It's just another job. I didn't answer. Because I knew better. This wasn't just another job. This was the last one. And one of us wasn't planning on making it out alive. The vault opened with a soft hiss, and for a second, none of us moved. Because inside, stacked in neat velvet-lined trays, were diamonds. Millions of dollars worth. Perfect, uncut, glistening under the dim lights. Move, Rafe snapped. Carlos and Jordy shoveled the diamonds into the duffel bags, hands moving fast. Luca was already on the comms, counting down the seconds before security caught on. I felt it before it happened. The shift. The hesitation. The way Rafe's hand twitched toward his gun. I turned just as Luca made his move. A gunshot shattered the silence. Jordy collapsed, a red bloom spreading across his chest. Carlos swore, dropping the bag. What the fuck? Luca grinned, stepping over Jordy's twitching body. Sorry, boys. New plan. Rafe didn't hesitate. One bullet. Right between Luca's eyes. His body hit the floor hard. And then chaos. Carlos lunged for the bag. Rafe shot him too. I stood still, heart pounding, watching Rafe turn toward me. Gun raised, eyes cold. And that's when I knew. I was never supposed to walk out of this alive. But Rafe forgot one thing. I was faster. I pulled my knife, drove it deep into his side. Twisted. He gasped, eyes wide, gun slipping from his fingers. I leaned in, whispering against his ear. You should have picked a smarter bitch to betray. Then I shoved him back, let him bleed out on the floor next to the diamonds. I grabbed the bag. I ran. The alarms were screaming now. Security would be here any second. I made it down the stairwell, through the service exit. Luca's getaway van was still running outside. I got behind the wheel. Drove like hell. And just like that, the diamonds were mine. But here's the thing about betrayal. It never ends clean. I made it back to the safe house, adrenaline still running hot in my veins. Tossed the bag onto the table, unzipped it, ready to count my fortune. Only, it was empty. Nothing inside but a severed head. Rafe's. A phone buzzed in the bag. I picked it up. Answered. A voice on the other end chuckled. You really thought you were the only one playing the game? Chapter 2, Lies and Lead. The severed head in the duffel bag stared back at me, its dead eyes frozen in that smug, knowing smirk Rafe always wore. I didn't flinch. Didn't scream. Didn't do a goddamn thing. Because shock wasn't an option in this business. If you froze, you died. If you panicked, you bled. And if you let your emotions get the best of you, someone else walked away with your payday. So, I stood there in the dimly lit safe house, gripping the phone in my bloody fingers, breathing slow, controlled, even. The voice on the other end of the call chuckled. Still alive, huh? I didn't recognize it, but I recognized the tone. The kind of voice that belonged to someone who enjoyed watching people squirm, someone who knew they were holding all the cards. Too bad for them, I never played fair. I swallowed the metallic taste of adrenaline and kept my voice calm. Who the fuck is this? A pause. Then, someone who owns what you stole. And someone who's coming for you. Click. The line went dead. And just like that, my world got a whole lot smaller. I dumped the phone in the sink, grabbed the kettle from the stove, and poured boiling water over it. Plastic melted. Circuits fried. Just in case. Then I turned back to Rafe's head. It was an invitation. A message. A taunt. And I wasn't in the mood to play fucking games. I zipped the bag shut, wiped the sweat off my brow, and started moving. The safe house wasn't safe anymore. Nothing was. I grabbed my 9mm, checked the mag, stuffed two extra clips in my jacket. Grabbed a blade, a burner phone, and whatever cash I had left stashed in the floorboards. Then I took one last look around. Luca, Jordi, Carlos, Rafe, all dead. And I had just become the last loose end. So I did what I did best. I disappeared. Cape Town at night is a different kind of animal. It breathes in neon, pulses with danger. The streets are alive with dealers, hustlers, and ghosts like me, people running from their past, from the bodies they left behind. I slipped into the darkness, moving fast, keeping to the alleyways. My plan was simple. Find out who the fuck just played me, kill them, and take back what was mine. And there was only one person who could tell me who set this up. A man named Dante Devereaux. Dante wasn't just some low-level fence. He was the guy who moved blood diamonds through the city. The guy who knew where every stolen stone ended up, whose hands it passed through, and who was willing to kill for it. If my diamonds were still in play, he'd know. The problem? Dante would rather watch the world burn than give up a name for free. His club, the Crimson Room, sat in the heart of the city, tucked between high-rise hotels and back-alley dope dens. A place where billionaires and killers drank from the same bottle, where stolen goods changed hands under velvet-lit chandeliers. I didn't walk through the front door. I went through the kitchen entrance, slipping past the chefs, past the bouncers too busy getting their dicks sucked by waitresses to notice me. Up the back stairs. Third floor. Dante's office. I stepped inside. He was already waiting. A tall, lean bastard, expensive suit draped over his frame, gold rings glinting as he stirred a whiskey glass with one long finger. He smiled. Well, well. If it isn't the dead woman walking. I didn't smile back. I drew my gun, leveled it at his skull. Where are my diamonds, Dante? He sighed, swirling his drink. You never were one for pleasantries. I cocked the hammer back. Talk. His smile faded. Put the gun down, sweetheart. You're already dead, you just don't know it yet. I didn't lower the gun. Try me. Dante leaned forward. You think this was Rafe's job? That you and your little gang were running the show? He chuckled. No, darling. You were running errands for someone much bigger. And now? Now you're a problem. My grip tightened. Who? He reached into his desk drawer, slowly because he wasn't stupid, and tossed something onto the table. A photograph. I picked it up, and my blood turned to ice. Because staring back at me was a face I knew. A face I should have killed a long time ago. The name on the back of the photograph was handwritten, scrawled in messy ink. Vincent Moreau. A name I hadn't heard in years. Because the last time I saw Vincent Moreau, he had a gun in my mouth and told me if he ever saw me again, he'd put me in the ground. And now? Now he was hunting me. I set the photo down, pull steady, breath slow. Dante watched me, amusement flickering in his dark eyes. Surprised. I shrugged. No. He grinned. Then you already know you're fucked. I shot him in the knee. He screamed, knocking his chair over, clutching at the gaping wound. I crouched beside him, pressed my gun under his chin. Where's Moreau? I whispered. Dante's breathing came in ragged gasps. He chuckled through the pain. You're already dead, sweetheart. You just haven't figured out how yet. I pulled the trigger. Bang! The bullet ripped through his skull, splattering the walls with blood and brain. I stood up, wiped the blood off my face, and walked out. I didn't stop moving, didn't sleep, didn't breathe. Vincent Moreau wasn't just anyone. He was a ghost. A man who lived in the shadows, pulling strings, making people disappear. And I had just walked into his game. I needed to disappear. I needed to find him first. I needed my diamonds. And I needed to kill the bastard who thought he could bury me. Because if Moreau thought I was just gonna lie down and die, he was about to learn the hard way. You never cross a woman like me and live to tell the tale. Chapter 3. The Last Man Standing. A dead man's blood dries fast under the Cape Town heat. Dante's body lay slumped over his desk, the bullet hole in his skull already starting to crust at the edges. His mouth was frozen in that smug little smirk, even in death. The room smelled of whiskey, gunpowder, and the distinct bitter stench of burnt flesh where the bullet had torn through him. I didn't stay to admire my work. I had about 10 minutes, 15 tops, before his men found the body and started hunting. I grabbed the burner phone from my pocket, dialed the one number I knew would pick up at this hour. It rang once, then twice. Then, you got a fucking death wish calling me? The voice was smooth, sharp-edged. Noah King. Former Merc, current weapons dealer, and the only man I trusted to have my back. Mostly because he hated Vincent Moreau even more than I did. I exhaled, pressing a hand against the cut on my ribcage, sticky with blood. I need guns, I said. Big ones. A pause. Then a low chuckle. You never change, do you? Nope. Meet me in an hour. Same place as last time. The line went dead. I pocketed the phone and walked out the door, stepping over Dante's cooling body. I had a war to prepare for. Cape Town was a different beast at night. The streets pulsed with life, the kind that thrived in the darkness, dealers and drifters, syndicates and smugglers. The city smelled of salt and sweat, of gasoline and burning money. I kept my head down as I moved. No sudden movements. No eye contact. Even out here, someone was watching. Someone was always watching. I slipped through a narrow alley, my boots splashing through a puddle of rainwater and piss, and knocked twice on the rusted metal door at the end. A moment of silence. Then, a click. The door swung open, and I stepped inside. Noah sat at the back of the room, feet propped up on an old wooden crate, a half-smoked cigarette dangling from his lips. He looked exactly the same, tall, lean, his dark skin smooth despite the scars crisscrossing his jawline. A killer's face. A soldier's eyes. He flicked the cigarette away. You look like shit. I smirked, leaning against the doorway. Nice to see you too. He gestured to a nearby table, where a small arsenal of weapons lay neatly displayed. Assault rifles, pistols, knives, explosives. Enough firepower to level a goddamn building. Take your pick. I stepped forward, running my fingers over the cold steel of a Glock 19, testing the weight. How much? I asked. Noah grinned. On the house. That made me pause. Nothing in this world came for free. Why? He leaned forward, elbows on his knees. Because Moreau fucked me over too. His voice darkened. Because I want him dead just as much as you do. I studied him, searching for the lie. Found none. Finally, I nodded. Then let's kill the bastard. The plan was simple. Find Moreau. End him. Take back what was mine. But Moreau wasn't just another cartel boss. He was a ghost. A myth. A man who never left loose ends. And somehow I was still breathing. Which meant only one thing, he was toying with me. And I fucking hated being toyed with. The first bullet missed my head by half an inch. The second shattered the glass bottle on the bar beside me. I dove behind the counter, heart hammering, as gunfire tore through the club. Noah had warned me this was a trap. I hadn't listened. Now I was pinned down in a goddamn war zone. The men coming for me weren't amateurs. Tactical. Precise. They moved like ex-military. Moreau's men, which meant he was close. I checked my mag. 3 rounds left. Not enough. I waited. Listened. Then, the second the gunfire slowed, I moved. I vaulted over the bar, grabbed the nearest body, and snapped his neck in one quick motion. Took his rifle. Fired 3 rounds. 1 headshot. 2 center mass. Moreau's men dropped like flies. And just like that, the fight was over. But Moreau? Moreau was nowhere to be seen. The bastard had slipped away. I found the note pinned to the wall with a hunting knife. A single line scrawled in red ink. You should have stayed dead. My hands shook with rage. This wasn't over. Not even close. I pulled the knife from the wall, turned to Noah, who was wiping blood off his cheek. We end this. Tonight. He nodded once. Let's hunt. Finding Moreau wasn't going to be easy. But killing him? That was the fun part. We had one lead. A warehouse on the docks, one of Moreau's old smuggling routes. If he was hiding, that's where he'd be. We stole a car. Drove fast. Didn't speak. By the time we reached the docks, the sun was starting to rise, casting long, blood-red shadows over the water. I gripped my rifle, heart steady. Then we moved. Silent. Like ghosts. We slipped through the side entrance, weapons drawn. The warehouse was empty. Too empty. No men. No guards. No Moreau. Just a single chair in the center of the room. And in that chair, I froze. Noah cursed. Because sitting there, bound and gagged, was Vincent Moreau. Already dead. His throat was slit from ear to ear. And carved into his chest, a message. You were too late. My pulse roared in my ears. Someone had beaten me to it. Someone had stolen my kill. And now? Now I had a new enemy. I didn't speak. Didn't move. I just stood there, staring at Moreau's lifeless body, rage coiling in my gut. This wasn't how it was supposed to end. I should have been the one to pull the trigger. I should have been the one to watch him beg. Noah crouched beside the body, lips pressed in a thin line. Who the fuck did this? I clenched my fists. Someone who just made the worst mistake of their life. Because this wasn't just revenge anymore. This was personal. And I wasn't stopping until I found the motherfucker who stole my kill. And buried them 6 feet under. Chapter 4. A debt paid in blood. Vincent Moreau should have been mine. I should have been the one to put the knife to his throat, to watch the life bleed from his body. I had planned for it, burned for it. I wanted him to beg, to realize in his last moments that he had made the worst mistake of his life when he came after me. But now? Now he was dead, tied to a chair in a warehouse, his throat already slit, his body carved with a message. You were too late. I stared at those 3 words, my hands curled into fists, my nails digging into my palms. My pulse was steady, but the rage burning in my gut was anything but calm. Somebody had stolen my kill. Somebody had made the mistake of thinking they could take what was mine and walk away. Noah let out a low whistle beside me, arms crossed over his chest as he studied the body. Well, shit. That's one less problem for you, huh? I didn't answer. I was already working through the possibilities. Someone else had wanted Moreau dead, someone who had been watching me. Someone who had known I was coming for him, and had gotten there first. But why? Why leave me a message? Noah crouched beside the corpse, tilting his head. This wasn't just a hit. This was personal. He pointed at the deep, precise slashes along Moreau's arms and legs. Tortured first. Someone wanted him to suffer. I forced myself to take a step back, inhaling through my nose. Think, don't react. That's how you survive in this business. Who else had a reason to want Moreau dead? Who else wanted to take something from me? And then, just like that, it hit me. The answer had been staring me in the face the whole time. Her name was Isla Vega. And she was supposed to be dead. Isla had been Moreau's right hand once. His enforcer. His fixer. His personal attack dog. And she had been my best friend before she tried to kill me. 2 years ago, Moreau sent Isla to put a bullet in my skull. She failed. I left her in the dirt with 3 bullets in her chest and walked away. But clearly, I hadn't put her down for good. Noah saw the realization hit me. You know who did this? I nodded. Yeah. And I should have buried her when I had the chance. Noah exhaled, rubbing the back of his neck. You sure? This could be anyone. I turned to him, my voice flat. It's Isla. Noah didn't argue. He knew better than that. Instead, he asked the only question that mattered. Where do we find her? I smiled. I have a feeling she's about to find me first. I didn't go looking for Isla that night. I didn't need to. She came to me. Noah and I took separate cars back to the safe house, splitting up as a precaution. I wasn't stupid. Moreau's men might have been out of the picture, but I wasn't walking into any more traps. The second I stepped into the apartment, I knew I wasn't alone. The air felt too still. The lights were off. The smell of cigarette smoke lingered in the air, not mine. I didn't reach for my gun. Didn't need to. I just let the door swing shut behind me and said, "I was wondering when you'd show up." A match flared in the darkness. Then her voice, smooth as silk. "Did you miss me?" The lamp flicked on. And there she was. Isla Vega. She was stretched out on my couch like she owned the place. One leg crossed over the other, a cigarette hanging from her lips. Her dark hair was shorter than I remembered, her green eyes still sharp, still deadly. And the knife strapped to her thigh. That was new. I didn't move. Didn't blink. She smirked. "No hug. No long time no see?" I tilted my head. "Should have aimed for the heart when I shot you." Her smile widened. "You always were sentimental." I took a slow step forward. "Why?" She exhaled smoke, tapping ash into an empty glass. "Why what? Why take Moreau from me?" My voice was cold. "Flat. You knew I was coming for him." She shrugged, like we were talking about the goddamn weather. "Yeah, that's why I got there first." Something hot and sharp curled in my chest. "You just couldn't stand to let me have it, could you?" Her smile faded. "No, sweetheart. I couldn't let you walk into a trap." That made me pause. She leaned forward, resting her elbows on her knees. "Moreau was waiting for you. He knew you were coming. He was going to take his time with you." She flicked her fingers, casual. "So I took care of it." I stared at her. "Bullshit." She exhaled, shaking her head. "Believe whatever the fuck you want. The point is, I saved your ass." I let that sit between us for a second. Then I said, "You don't get to play hero, Isla. Not after what you did." Her lips parted slightly, like she wanted to say something. But she didn't. Because she knew. We weren't friends anymore. We weren't anything. Not after she betrayed me. Not after she left me for dead. She stood up, stretching. "Well, this has been fun. But I should get going before you decide to put another bullet in me." I watched her, my expression unreadable. "Where are the diamonds?" She smirked. "Somewhere safe." I took a step closer, voice low. "You're playing a dangerous game, Vega." Her green eyes gleamed. "So are you." I moved first. So did she. A flick of her wrist, a knife in her hand. A snap of my fingers, a gun in mine. A standoff. Her blade a breath from my throat. My gun pressed against her ribs. Neither of us moved. Neither of us blinked. Then she laughed. "God, I missed you." I didn't laugh. Didn't smile. Just whispered, "Run while you still can." She leaned in, lips brushing my ear. "You know you won't kill me." Then she stepped back. And just like that, she was gone. Leaving me with nothing. Nothing except a war that wasn't over yet. I picked up my phone. Dialed Noah. He picked up on the first ring. "You good?" I exhaled. "Change of plans." A pause. "Then, what now?" I smiled. "Now we hunt Isla Vega." Chapter 5, The Wrong Bitch to Cross. Revenge isn't just about killing. It's about making sure they know why they're dying. And Isla Vega? She was about to learn. The streets of Cape Town pulsed with the heat of the night, a thick, humid tension lingering in the air as I stepped out of the alley, my boots splashing through a puddle still tinted red from the last bastard who had crossed me. Noah waited by the car, arms crossed, cigarette smoldering between his fingers. He exhaled slowly, watching me. "You sure about this?" I tightened my grip on the Glock at my side. "Dead sure." He flicked his cigarette into the gutter. "Then let's finish this. Because tonight, Isla Vega was going to die. And this time, I'd make sure she stayed dead. Finding her wasn't the hard part. Not anymore. She wasn't hiding, she wanted me to come for her. Her invitation? A single text sent from an untraceable number. Last round. Just you and me. No backup. No bullshit. The old harbor. Warehouse 19. Midnight. A game of fucking cat and mouse. But she forgot something, I don't play fair." Noah gritted his teeth as we pulled up near the docks, the warehouse looming like a steel skeleton under the moonlight. "This is a trap." I slid a knife into my boot, checked the mag in my gun. "I know." His jaw tightened. "You don't have to do this alone." I met his gaze. "Yes, I do. Because this wasn't just about the diamonds. This was about everything. The years of blood. The betrayals. The scars Isla and I carved into each other. This was a final reckoning. And only one of us was walking away." The warehouse doors yawned open with a slow metallic groan. I stepped inside. Empty. Silent. Except for the flickering of a lone overhead bulb, casting long, twisted shadows across the concrete floor. And in the center of it all, a table. Two chairs. A bottle of whiskey. and Isla Vega, sitting there like she'd been waiting for me her whole life. She looked up, smirking. Took you long enough. I kept my gun trained on her. You should have kept running. She laughed, slow and smoky. Why the fuck would I run? She gestured to the chair opposite her. Come on, sweetheart. Sit. Drink. Let's talk before we try to kill each other. I didn't move. Didn't blink. She tilted her head, green eyes gleaming. Or are you scared I'll talk you out of it? I stepped forward, gun steady. Nothing you say will save you. Her smile widened. Then sit. And let me tell you why you're about to make the biggest mistake of your life. I hesitated. Then against every fucking instinct I had, I sat. Because sometimes the best way to kill someone is to let them think they still have a chance. She poured two glasses, the amber liquid catching the dim light. Didn't touch hers. Didn't expect me to touch mine. This was all for show. She leaned forward, elbows on the table. You ever ask yourself why I did it? I tilted my head. Tried to kill me? She smirked. Tried to save you. I laughed. You've got a fucked up way of showing it. Her expression didn't change. Moreau was going to kill you, love. And not quick. You were his biggest liability. His biggest threat. She tapped the table. So I made a choice. Between you and him. I exhaled slowly. And you chose wrong. She smiled. Did I? A beat of silence. Then, she reached under the table and tossed a black duffel bag onto it. It landed with a dull thump. Heavy. Familiar. I stared at it, my pulse slow and steady. What the fuck is this? She took a slow sip of whiskey. The diamonds. I didn't move. Didn't trust it. Why? She smirked. Because I want to see what matters more to you, revenge? Or the payout? I slid the bag off the table. Didn't even check inside. Because I already knew. This wasn't about the money. Never was. I leaned forward, voice low. You're stalling. Her fingers flexed against the glass. Then, too fast to track, she lunged. A knife in her hand. I was already moving. The blade sang as it slashed through the air, missing my throat by an inch. I kicked the table into her gut, sending her sprawling. Gun up. Firing. She rolled, dodging left, hurling her knife. The steel sank into my shoulder. A burst of white-hot pain. Didn't stop me. Didn't slow me. I fired twice. She disappeared into the shadows. I yanked the knife out, blood soaking my sleeve. Heartbeat steady. Breathing even. Because this was just the final act. She came at me again. Close combat. No guns. Just blades, fists, and the years of bad blood between us. I blocked her first strike. Took the second. Steel bit into my ribs. Didn't matter. I drove my elbow into her jaw. She staggered. Spat blood. Laughed. That all you got? I lunged. Took her down. Straddled her. Pressed my knife against her throat. She stilled. Breath coming fast. Waiting. I stared down at her, blood dripping from my lip, my pulse roaring in my ears. Her smirk was gone now. And for the first time in years, I saw it in her eyes. Fear. I leaned in. Voice calm. Steady. You greedy bitch. You should have killed me when you had the chance. Then I slit her throat. She choked. Body spasming. Blood bubbling from her lips. I held her down. Watched her die. Because she deserved this. Because I had waited too fucking long for this. And when she finally went still, I exhaled. And let her go. Noah was waiting outside. Didn't ask questions. Didn't need to. He saw the blood on my hands, the duffel bag slung over my shoulder. He exhaled. It's done. I nodded. He shook his head, a smirk playing at his lips. I hope it was worth it. I slid into the passenger seat, glanced at the blood drying on my hands. It was. Then we drove into the night, leaving nothing behind. Not Isla. Not Moreau. Not the past. Just the diamonds. And the promise of something new. Whatever the fuck that would be. The end.